You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, we find out what faith is. First verse, it's faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I love that. Faith's not opposed to your senses. It's not against what you feel or what you see. Faith reveals what you don't see. It just reveals what you don't hear and what you don't smell. My eyes reveal what I don't hear. My nose reveals what I don't feel. I can smell things I can't feel. I can see things I can't hear. So just because I see it and don't feel it doesn't mean it's not real. It just means that my sight is showing me something that my ears don't detect. And just because I hear the car honking outside and I can't see it right now doesn't mean it's not there. It's just my ears show me or revealed to me through hearing something that my eyes don't reveal yet. But if I follow my hearing, then I'll finally go outside and see the car. Are you with me? So faith is like that. It is a spiritual sense, not a natural sense. Faith detects what God promises. It detects what He says. He says He'll do this. He says He'll come through. He says He'll fix this. He's given me this promise. I'm going to trust Him. I may not see it. I may not feel it, but I'm going to follow it because it's real. And if I walk by faith and not by sight, I will feel it and I will see it. Maybe not immediately, but if I continue in my faith, I will, what I believe will become real, are you with me, because of what's been revealed to me by faith. So faith, as opposed to just hoping and a praying, and when I wish upon a star, like Jiminy Cricket and Disney, you know, opposed to just hoping and opposed to just a star, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It really puts reality to my dreams. So you could want anything in the world and desire all kinds of things in your life, but until you get in there and start really trusting God and turn your life over to Him and start believing Him to help you, then there's no substance to what you want. Do you think people don't want a better life? Everybody wants a better life. And you know, really, even people that are lost, you think they don't want to go to heaven? Everybody wants to go to a better place, where they call it heaven, where they want to call it. But the problem is just wanting to go is not going to get you there. And just a desire is not going to make it happen. You got to have a definite plan to get there, and God gave us a plan and a way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes, Father, but by me. And as we believe, we put substance to that desire. All of a sudden, now we go, hey, my dream's going to come true. I'm going to heaven because I have believed on what God said. You know, it was Blaise Pascal. He was a French physicist, and I think he developed the barometer and a lot of other things. We don't realize, you know, if you honestly, especially in this day and age in public school, you're not taught a lot of this, but a lot of scientists were just very, very passionate Christians. Isaac Newton wrote volumes, reams of Christian literature, and he was a very, very religious person, very sold on Jesus Christ, and Blaise Pascal, and the list just goes on and on and on. But Blaise Pascal wrote some religious writing, and concerning faith, he said this. He wrote it in a book called Pensées, which means thoughts. And he wrote about faith. He said, faith is not opposed to our senses. Faith is above our senses. Faith reveals what our senses do not. Are you with me? So we're not saying it's either feeling or faith. No, there's not a battle going on there. I mean, something, if you're feeling pain, it's real. You feel pain. But if you're believing for God to heal you, then you set your faith for healing, and healing's been revealed to you through the Word. By stripes, Jesus, we are healed. Lay hands on sick, and they shall recover. Pray for one that you may be healed. I'm the Lord that healeth thee, who forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, and on and on and on, infinitum, you know, scriptures on healing. You just believe that God's going to intervene, and that's why we pray when we go to doctors and have surgery. I prayed over my mom. I prayed over the doctor. The doctor came into the, you know, the prep room, and we all grabbed hands and prayed for him. I prayed God would give him wisdom and guide his hands, and, you know, I'm praying and believing. Faith's not opposed to our senses. I know there was a problem. Mama had some problems. She needed some help. She needed this surgery to go well. Are you with me? She needed this surgeon to do well. Are you out there? So it's not opposed to what we our senses. It's just above them. It's above them. It's something our senses don't reveal. And you know, to believe in healing doesn't mean you don't believe in sickness. Are you out there? And to believe in help doesn't mean you don't believe in problems. It just means you believe someone's bigger than your problems. Someone's greater than your problems. To believe in peace doesn't mean you don't believe in depression. It just means you believe peace is stronger than depression. You believe that God's bigger than whatever mess you're in or whatever obstacle you're facing, whatever mountain's on your horizon. You just believe in a greater power. Amen? And so that's what we're talking about. And that's what we see here over and on and over. The second verse says that by it faith, the elders obtained a good report. Well, life is a test. It's a battle, to say the least. I mean, it's like one guy said, it's like one mortar shell after another, you know. But there are good days. There are good times. And there are moments of joy. And there's moments of excitement. And we can be positive. We can face the future with courage and with boldness and with faith. Hallelujah. If we'll trust God, we'll get a good report when the test is over. By it, the elders obtain a good report, and through faith we understand that the world's refrained by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Third verse. And that's where we ended up last week, was third verse. Last week we got through one verse. Let's see how many we can get through tonight. But hey, we got all the time in the world. Jesus comes tonight, we'll just go on and finish up in heaven. Amen. If not, same time, same channel next week. Y'all come back. The fourth verse says this, and this is where he starts to list these men and women that changed their world. Now, I know the third verse traditionally, and I agree 100% that the worlds were framed by God, and that through faith we understand that. But technically, if you take that verse apart, what he's saying is that through faith we understand that the age, that's actually the word is ages, not world, it's aeons or ages. The ages were, you have to listen closely. I went over this last week. We used the whole service to talk about it. The ages were framed. The word frame is actually fixed or mended or made right. So it really wasn't talking about the creation. We know God created the world. That's a given. I understand that. And I believe that. But in context, what he's saying here in this third verse is that these men and women he's going to list here, through faith, fixed the age they live in. They had problems. They had obstacles, and there are all kinds of problems, all kinds of different obstacles. Some of them was a flood. I mean, one of them was they were too old to have a baby, Abraham and Sarah. And then they had the Canaan land conquest, Joshua. It's different obstacles, different problems, in different ages. They didn't live in the same age. Different generations, sometimes hundreds of years apart. But through faith, we understand that their age was fixed. When they would confront a problem, they would mend it and fix it through the Word of God. Through faith, we understand that they fixed their age through the Word, so that things which do appear were not made by things that are seen were not made by things which do appear. In other words, they looked into the unseen world, and they looked to God, and they petitioned heaven to fix what they saw. And what they saw was changed and fixed by the unseen world. And you can change and fix your world from the unseen world if you will believe like they believed. Because God is no respecter of persons. I mean, my own life, I was in drugs and jails and got kicked out of high school. You know, we're going through our 40-year reunion right now. I haven't been to any of our high school reunions. I probably ought to show up and just get them all saved. If that were possible. That's not possible, but there's a lot of our serving God. But here lately, I've heard a lot about school, you know, because it's the 40-year reunion coming up. And Don Murphy, y'all know Don Murphy, Pastor Don, who I witnessed to and led to the Lord. His wife, Cherry, I went to school with and sent her. And she signed me up on Facebook. So I'm just getting hammered, you know, with old, you know, acquaintances. But I was thinking about all that. The track I was on, I got kicked out of high school. In fact, they had the police. They called the police where I couldn't even drive on a parking lot because I was such a model student at that time. And it was just I was just in the wrong crowd. You know, you hear that over and over. I was the wrong crowd. I mean, people didn't like their kids hanging around me. What are you talking about? I was lost and undone and drugs and jails and just wild. And finally got kicked out of school. But did you know at 19 years of age, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I fixed that. Are you with me? God did. I mean, he gets the credit. But I accepted Jesus, believed on him, and turned that whole thing around. Turned the whole thing around. And of course, you know the story, God called me to teach. God called me to pastor later. And he didn't call me to teach because I was such a great catch. He didn't call me to pastor because I was such a great guy. God's not looking for great people, great men, great women. He's just looking for available women, available men. He's looking for people who will accept, who receive. God's got all the power in the world. He's looking for availability, not ability. God's got the ability. In fact, through faith, you've got the ability to do whatever it is that God's called you to and to fix whatever mess you're in. Now, all things being equal, I understand when there's two people involved, you can't overrule someone's will. Many times in marriage, it doesn't work out because you have two people involved. But I tell you, you can make it better, and you can make it a whole lot. You can tip the scale in your favor. Are you with me? And you can make your marriage better. We've got a great marriage. Bert and I will be married 40 years. 40 years next month. Yeah. Wow. We got married kind of early. And it was rocky the first few years till I got saved. I mean, I was 17, Bert was 16 when we got married. The hope of something like that happened is not very good. Are you with me? Especially in the conditions we married in and me being lost and drugs and jails and so on and so forth. But you know what? I got saved. Brenda was saved. And she prayed for me. She tried to witness to me, but I wouldn't listen. I told her I didn't want to hear it, you know. But it didn't matter. She kept praying. You know, you can't stop somebody from praying because you don't know what people are doing when you're not around them. Hello. So you want to just keep praying, amen? Okay. So they fixed their world through faith. They mended their world. And then it starts the list. It starts listing people who believed God, who trusted God. And this is a common start of these verses. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, by faith. Are you catching something common here? Common thread. Okay. So what if you did that? Well, God's no respecter of persons. In fact, the reason these are listed is so you'd know what to do. So you know that God loves you too, and if you'll believe like they believe, you'll get what they got. Pure and simple. In a general sense, you'll get your help. You'll take you to the next level. Not saying you're not going to have problems. Come on now. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that you can have help in the midst of the problems, and you can go to the next level. I'm not saying everybody's going to be a millionaire, but I tell you what. I've been to India. I've been to South Africa. I've been to Australia and Great Britain and Mexico and Guatemala and El Salvador. I've been to a lot of countries in the world, and wherever you are, you can prosper. If you're in the first grade, let's believe God to go to the second. In India, you know, if they're walking around, we'd pray with them, believe with them, and believe those pastors to get a bicycle. Are you with me? And if they get a bicycle, they start believing for a motorcycle. They just go further. They can reach more people. It's all about reaching more people. It's not about consuming things in our lust, on ourselves. But, you know, you ought to believe God that you can help more people. To do that, you need to proceed. There's no shame in where you are. We all start at some level, and everybody's not going to be a millionaire. But wherever you are, let's believe to come out of that. Not a sin to be poor, but it's a sin to want to stay there. The poor you always have with you, Jesus said, but he told you to give to the poor. He didn't say leave them alone. Are you out there? If the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. So let's try to get some healing here. Let's get our eyes open, amen. And I don't know what you're in or what mess you're in, but let's get out of it. Maybe you didn't get in overnight. You probably won't get out overnight, but you can get out if you start little by little trusting God and listening to him. You know, getting wisdom. Start doing what he says to do. Start changing your behavior. You know, I found in life, as my hair gets whiter, I just tell everybody I ran into a wall. I was painting a white wall and I ran into the wall. But anyway, I found in life that you cannot talk your way out of a situation you behaved yourself into. Are you out there? So change your behavior. Most of what God says and does, and most of the movings of God in our life starts with us. He starts changing our behavior. Well, you know, you did this. Why don't you repent of that and start doing this? Isn't that right? I mean, God always involves you in the miracle. I always love that. He'll come down and tell you something to do. I just want him to show up and do it. And he's saying, well, okay, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to use you. That's what he did with Moses. Remember Moses? He appeared to Moses in a fire burning bush. And he said, I've heard the cry of my people Israel. It has come up before me, the bondage of Egypt. and I am come down to deliver them. Well, I'm sure Moses' heart leaped a beat, you know, jumped a beat, and he leaped. Oh, man, God has come down to deliver us. But then God says, and I send in you to deliver my people. All of a sudden, Moses spoke up. He was pretty quiet to that point. And then he said, whoa, me? And then he started making all the excuses and all the reasons why he couldn't really be the one God really wanted, you know, like God didn't really know. I love that when we start making excuses. God, I can't do that. You know, you're going to tell God something he doesn't know about you? He already knows everything. But he does include you, doesn't he? Here's what I want you to do. That's why we don't like to pray. That's why we don't want to go to God. Because God's not going to just fix us, fix the problem. He's going to get us to, we're going to have to do something. We don't like that. It's like going to the dentist. Goodness gracious. You know, you just got a toothache. Can you take the pain away? No, he starts knocking around in there and starts filling teeth and pulling them. And, you know, he can't leave well enough alone. Man, I just want the toothache gone. That's all I want. But see, God wants to make you whole. He doesn't want to just fix a little problem. He wants to fix you. Are you out there? Okay, moving right along because I'm not getting any response from that. By faith, it says, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, was it because Abel worked harder than Cain? I don't think so. Was it because God just something about Cain God didn't like? You know, God's got his favorites. No, God loved them both the same. I think he had, you know, just as much love for either one of them. But I think it's interesting, if you look at the scope of things, that what Abel offered to God was a lamb, what Cain offered to God was the fruit of the ground. If you go back and study that, that's pretty plain. You remember when Adam fell? Anybody remember that? I'm not saying you were there, but do you remember the count? Do you remember what the curse was? One of the curses was? The ground was cursed. And it says, thorns and thistles it'll yield to you, and you'll work by the sweat of your brow. Work is not a curse. The produce of the work was a curse. Isn't that what it says? I think it's interesting in Deuteronomy 28, it turns around and says, if you'll serve him, he'll bless the work of your hand. Actually, the curse of the ground was lifted in Noah's day. Because after the flood, remember the rainbow? Okay? And the rainbow was a sign of the covenant. God told Noah, he said, no longer will the ground be cursed for your sake. So you can plant and believe for a good harvest. Whereas before, in Adam's time, the ground was cursed. He says, thorns and thistles it will yield to you, and you'll work in the sweat of your brow. Cursed is the ground for your sake, it says that. So when Cain, although he worked hard, produced all this, whatever he produced, and although he offered all this, now this is before Noah, and this is before the law, this is before God accepted grain offerings. Because if you read in the law, Leviticus 23, where it talks about all the feasts of the Lord, and you go in Leviticus and talk about all the different, offerings and that you can offer before the Lord, and you go through all that. There's a lot of grain offerings and a lot of peace offerings. God, at that time, was accepting them because God lifted the curse in Noah's day. Y'all tracking with me now? So what Cain offered was cursed. Y'all out there? And it says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. What did Abel offer? A lamb. Go back and read it. I mean, it's in Genesis. He offered a lamb. Cain offered the fruit of the ground. Now, you know, God wasn't really all that upset about it. He just accepted Abel's as opposed to Cain's. Cain's the one that flipped out, not God. Hey, if you think God was so upset about it, why didn't God kill Cain? In fact, he put a mark on to protect him, to keep other people from killing him. We often think, God's so hard, he's so mean. He's so mean, my goodness. No, I tell you, the law was hard. But here's a man right here that killed his brother, and God still didn't kill him. Now, he was cursed because of it, but he put a mark on him so men would not kill him when he had to leave and go to the land of Nod, not Oz. He wasn't the Wizard of Oz, he went to Nod. But it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Why was it more excellent? That's a good question. What does it say? By faith. by faith. Because what he did in accordance to what God said. And everything you do in line with God's word is more excellent. It's always more excellent. You say, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this for the Lord, and I'm going to do this for the Lord. Great, we should all be doing things for the Lord. But, you know, you ought to make sure it's scriptural first, and then, hey, here's a big one, especially when it comes to a calling. Or did God call you to do that? I know people that go start churches, not even called to start churches. You know, they're not even called to be a pastor. And it's a good thing, but God didn't really call them to that. I mean, it's like if I told my son, you know, all my kids are grown now and married, and goodness gracious, we got... I can't keep other grandkids. How many grandkids we have? 18. We have 18 grandchildren. We got 5 children, 18 grandchildren. But I remember Jonathan, when he was little, if I told Jonathan to clean his room and he went and took the trash out, I might be happy about him taking the trash out, but I'm still not happy about him not cleaning his room. He did a good thing by taking the trash out, but that wasn't what I asked him to do. Y'all out there. And sometimes we kind of do that. You know God wants us to do something. We really don't want to do that, so we'll do something else. We do a lot of guilt offerings, you know what I mean? Are you out there? But if you want a more excellent sacrifice, then do it. Do what God says. Obey by faith. And faith is based on the word. It's not based on what you think or I think. It's based on what God says. So find out what God says and do that and obey that and yield your life to it, and God will receive that quicker. God's more pleased with you believing him and trusting him and doing what he says than just doing a bunch of stuff that you offer. You know, that's why we have so much trouble sometimes. I think even in churches sometimes we start programs. I've done it. We've been here 31 years. We started a lot of programs, didn't work. We don't talk about those. We talk about the food ministry and the Hallelujah Night, and we talk about things that are successful, but I could list you a lot of things that we tried. Just didn't work. They were good things. But God really wasn't in it. You know, we just kind of got ahead of God, as it were, and tried it. And you're going to do that in life. We're not perfect. And God's patient with us. But the things he really wants us to do that we obey him in, man, I'll tell you what, he blesses that, he anoints that, and it prospers. Hallelujah. So that's a more excellent sacrifice. Okay, I've gone over time. Let me finish this verse. Wouldn't it be nice to finish one verse? By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speak. He still speaks. Being dead, still speak. His blood cried out. I love that, the way it says that. You know, that's like a second witness in a court of law. Did you know that? And only now, in the last few years, have we seen a biblical principle begin to be used in a court of law through what we call DNA. Used to, the strongest witness in a court of law was an eyewitness. But now we have DNA. We didn't have that just a few years back. You notice that? Because blood speaks. Blood does cry out. And Abel's blood cried out. God asked, remember Cain, he says, where is your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper, you know? And he says, his blood cries out from the ground. Wow. That's pretty neat, isn't it? And we're living in a day where a second witness in a court of law is accepted, and it's this witness of blood. It is the voice of blood. It is the crying out of blood. Blood cries out. People have been vindicated because of DNA. They've been in jail for years. People have been convicted because of blood, because of DNA. Blood cries out. That's just a side note. Thought I'd throw that out.